Say it's revival time at Greater Life. You know, I got to thinking, we are this close to NASA, the Space Center, and it's time to have another out-of-this-world experience at Greater Life. Houston, we don't have a problem that God can't solve. I wish somebody would help me right now. I apologize, it's Wednesday night, but who'd like to have a little church around here for the next 15 minutes? My God, come on now. It seems as though expectation levels in the church anymore, and this is not a negative statement, it sounds as though it would be at first, but in truthfulness and all honesty, it seems as though in prayer, God, you know, I'm constantly as an evangelist traveling very different places, and I pray, God, allow me to give forth what is cutting edge according to your definition of cutting edge. Amen. And it seems as though in my travels that in praying and in observation and trying to define where we're at and understanding the times in which we're living and trying to understand what God wants us to understand in contrast to the times that we live here in this world, it seems to me that in the church, our expectation levels have been lowered. Well, that went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish wedding. But it seems as though our expectation levels have been lowered. It's regular Wednesday night service. It's Bible. I'm ready to have a Bible study on steroids. Bible says, ever learning, ever learning, ever learning, never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I was praying about that some few months ago, and in prayer, the Lord began to deal with me about that ever learning his people, ever learning and never being able to come or never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And then it finally dawned on me, Pastor Hughes, it finally dawned, what is the knowledge of the truth? And the knowledge of the truth to me is, from what I received from the word and in prayer, it's as if God whispered to me, the knowledge of the truth is the obedience to the word of God. And that's to say, that's application of the word of God. People are not praying today. Come on now. People are not praying today. People are just not seeking the face of God today. Cares of life have overwhelmed us. Well, I've come tonight to tell you that I believe very firmly in all my travels. I don't say this. I don't make this statement. I'm going to say this tonight. It's Wednesday night, but I believe we're in the perfect will of God. I know we're in the will of God tonight. How many would concur with that statement that I just made, that we're in the will of God tonight? Not because of me. I'm a no name, no face. Kind of like to keep it that way. I just want to be used of God and be a match. Because if I can just be a little old match and get the kindling wood started, you know, catching on fire, then the kindling wood to get the hardwood to burning, and then we'll all be consumed together and we won't even realize who started the fire. I'm just here to poke some fire. Paul said it's time to stir up the gift of God that's already in us. I stopped by McAllister's this afternoon and got some tea. Now, wait a minute. Glass of tea. Boy, it's spiritual right now. It's deep right now. It's deep. Glass of tea. You get a glass of iced tea and you pour sugar in it, that sugar is going to go to the bottom. Oh, this is deep. That sugar is going to the bottom. You take a swig of that just a couple minutes later and it's bitter. But you take a teaspoon, oh, this is deep, isn't it? You stir that up, you take a swig of that, and it's sweet. It's not that the sugar wasn't in the tea present. It was there. It just needed to be stirred up. I'm looking at the faces of some people tonight that you got a sour look on your face, and you kind of feel a little dejected, or you look a little, well, I don't know what's going to happen next. Well, I got news for you. It's not that you don't have it in you. What is it? Holy Ghost power. Oh, come on. It's not that you don't have faith in you. My God, it's there. Faith is present. The power of God is present. My God, I feel this right now. It's time to stir up the gift of God that is already in us. Come on, high five somebody and say it's time to stir up the gift that's in us tonight. I just need two people that's going to help me preach for the next 10 minutes. Come on, it's time to stir up the gift of God that's in us. I got a word from heaven this afternoon. God confirmed that to me, Brother Hughes. I feel that. I want to be in a position to receive what God really wants me to receive. I count it a privilege and I count it an honor to be with you here. Greater Life Church, Webster, Texas. In fact, I prayed a prayer that was a dangerous prayer this afternoon. I prayed, God, after 13, 14 years of evangelizing and preaching, I said, Lord, let this be the best service I've ever been in my life. I just wonder if I had one or two other people tonight that would say, Lord, if this was my last service, my God, have mercy. If I knew that this would be my last service, what would I give and what would I contribute to this being my last service? If this was our last time together, I don't know, but I'm just going to say it like this. It's time to pull out all the stops and give it our all and say, Lord, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it, whenever you want to do it, we're open to it right now. Come on, church. Nudge your neighbor and say, You're going to step through it tonight. You're going to step through it tonight. How many believes that? We're going to step through it tonight. We're going to step through it tonight. We're going to step through it tonight. I give honor to Pastor Hughes, Sister Hughes. What an honor to be here tonight and to be with you and to this wonderful church, this congregation. I don't believe it's a time of just me just preaching a good old sermon number 45. Just going on. I've heard from the Lord. And I don't know what's going to happen Friday night. I understand we're going to have a time with the young people this Friday evening and then Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's ahead of us. But if I can captivate your attention and convince you, the jury, tonight that God wants to start something in our hearts tonight, I'm not going to worry about those that are not here. I'm not going to be concerned with myself with those that are not here. In our minds, it's funny how the human psyche is that way. We get to a place, well, you know, in our minds, we think that certain dynamics are not present, this, that, and the other. You know what? If God is there, anything can happen. And God is here. And if you'll help me, I want to deliver. I'm not going to hold you long tonight. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, if you will turn with me in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In verse number 8, and I need your help tonight. I have been fighting sickness for almost 3 weeks in my body, and it slowed me down a little bit, and that can be good. But I'm on the decline of that. I'm on the mend, and I thank God for that tonight. Thank you, Pastor, for no pressure. And the liberty, I feel a liberty here tonight in the Holy Ghost, and I honor that and respect that. But how many would like to hear a word from the Lord this evening? In 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 8, I'd like for you to read it with me collectively aloud, shall we? It says, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Amen. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. 1 Corinthians 16, 8 and 9. For a great door, somebody help me read. For a great door. And you've yelled at your children louder than that. Come on, help me now. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. How many can concur with that? My God, my God. Everybody said in Jesus' name, God bless you. You may be seated. While you're seated, clap your hands again to the Lord. Come on, let's clap our hands again to the Lord. I love it. I love it. When you began to read, and as I studied recently, last few days, 1 and 2 Corinthians, primarily the 1 Corinthians, just looking at it and summarizing it, you will find that when Paul affectionately addresses the Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians in this last chapter, it doesn't take a scholar, it doesn't take anyone to understand that he had a love and he had an affection, if you will. He had a drawing to this Corinthian people and thus the Corinthian church. And when I looked at this, in this Bible study, if you will, studying the Word of the Lord, in the 16th chapter, he says, you know, listen, I love you. In the 8th verse, he says, I want to be with you. He says, but he says in verse 7, for I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. But I will tarry, and goes on, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. And when you began to look at that and put it under the microscope, if you will, of the magnifying glass and extrapolate what he's trying to say, what he's basically saying is this. He says, Corinthians, he said, you're an infant church. And he says, you're a small church. He says, but let me tell you something. We have had powerful church. He said, you have been a part of a great move of God. And he says, we have had great revival here at Corinth. He said, we've had a great move of God at Corinth. And he says, I celebrate that. He says, I'm thankful for that. And if you know, to understand where he's coming from, you have to go back to Acts chapter 19. When he comes to a group of followers that followed after John the Baptist, and you know the story, he comes to them in Ephesus, and understand what he's saying, turning the emphasis from the Corinthians to Ephesus, from Corinth to Ephesus. He looked at those in Acts chapter 19, and he says, listen, he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? To understand where Paul's trying to come from in addressing the Corinthians, and then in contrast, the Ephesians, he says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And that's where their very beginning of what he was trying to convey to the Corinthians. He says to those Ephesians, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And he says, we have not heard so much whether there be any Holy Ghost. You know the story. And he says, well, tell me about what you do have. What is the experience? What is the extent of your experience with God, or with church, or with religion, or with this spiritual awakening inside of your life, basically is what he's saying. He says, tell me what you do have. And you know the story. He said, they said, well, we were baptized with a baptism of repentance unto John's baptism. He was our leader. We considered him a spiritual guide in our life. And so we were baptized with a baptism of repentance. And he goes on down. He says, but there's more to it than this. And that was when he was addressing, everybody say, the Ephesians. But he looks at these Corinthians and he says, you know what? He says, I love you. He says, and we've had great church. In fact, he said to the Corinthians, it was there in Corinth, and he says, I'm not going to preach anything to you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, and he went on and he says, I don't come with enticing words. It was at Corinth where he said that. I don't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the power and in the demonstration in the Holy Ghost. Boy, that's what I'm looking for tonight. I'm looking for a manifestation of power, not man's power, but the power of the Holy Ghost, demonstration of the Holy Ghost. How many wants to see that tonight? How many is looking for that this weekend? Come on, we need to see it. And so that's exactly what they've had. They basically, what he's saying here in our text that we read, he's saying, I love you. And we've had great church. He said, we've had a great time together. And he says, but we cannot confine the move of God. We cannot restrict the move of God. We cannot relegate the move of God just to this area geographically. He said, there is a fire that started here in Corinth. He said, but wait a minute. He says, and it spread. And he says, it spread over into Ephesus. Ephesus. in Ephesus. Ephesians in Ephesus, when you look at Ephesus, it was a tough place. It was a tough place, Pastor Hughes. It was a tough place. I've never preached this before, so just bear with me, and it's all going to come together. But the Ephesians, it was a tough place. In fact, it was so tough, it was consumed with a lot of pagan worship, paganism, and idol worship. In fact, the great goddess Diana, you know, that Bible said that they would go out in the afternoon and many would gather together. And you look at biblical history, they said that they would bow down, they would worship the goddess Diana. And I preached this to some youth at a youth convention last year about the God. And I hope this is not too X-rated, but is it all right if we just get real tonight and be honest and transparent? Oh, come on. The world is not ashamed or bashful about their propagation of sin. And so we might as well jerk the covers off of what the real deal is and deal with it. Come on, somebody. I want to get to, if I get to, the Bible says the problem with the heart is the heart of the problem is the problem in the heart. We can get to the root of the matter. And so the goddess Diana, she was actually a sex goddess. She was a sex goddess. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know, it's the same way that today as it was then, that the three things that we contend with, every sin that every human being will ever, ever commit in their life, everything that we could possibly imagine that we could commit is given under three umbrellas, or three major divisions, if you will, of sin. It's lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And oh, my God, pride of life, I've never in all my days, my God, this city, this state, this nation, this world is run over with the pride of life. Everybody's better than everybody. I mean, it's pride, and it just doesn't stop at just having an arrogant look. It goes beyond so much further than that. It begins to impede people and hurt people in so many various ways, and I'm not going to get all that, but you understand what I'm talking about. And so someone said, well, what is it with the Ephesians? You know, I had a fellow tell me one time, he said in Acts chapter 19, I want to reference that again. Acts chapter 19, he says, someone tried to tell me that tongues was not for people today. Tongues and prophesying is not for people today. Well, I had this individual tell me some time back. He said, well, when you look at it in Acts chapter 2, he said this. He said, didn't make sense. He said, the Holy Ghost and tongues was given for the Jews in Acts chapter 2. Then in Acts chapter 8, it was given to the Samaritans. In Acts chapter 10, he says, in Acts chapter 19, the Jews, the Samaritans, and then he looked at me and he said, Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And then he says, Acts chapter 19. I said, what about Acts chapter 19? And he said, well, he said, the reason that he gave me was that tongues ceased and it wasn't relevant for today was he said this. He said that those disciples of John the Baptist in Acts chapter 19 were not good disciples. And he says that their leader had died, and he said, but they just didn't follow, and they decided, well, you know, we might as well do this and go ahead and receive because this was good. You know, that didn't hold water to me. It was just another sign, and it is another sign in Acts chapter 19 that tongues is given as the initial sign of receiving the Spirit of God in our life. Thank God for tongues. Is there anybody here tonight that has ever spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God has given you the utterance? Someone stand up and shout hallelujah. Someone stand up and shout thank God for the Holy Ghost. Evidence speaking of other tongues. I'm going to ask you one more time. Has anybody ever spoke with tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance? For anybody that will contend that speaking in tongues is not for us today, I got news for you. It was for them then, and it is for us today. Speaking in tongues is still the initial sign, the evidence of receiving the baptism of God's Spirit in our lives. And I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Anybody thankful you got the Holy Ghost? Evidenced by Setata Boshabahaya. By speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. thank God for the Holy Ghost. And that is exactly and was exactly the issue with Paul referencing the Corinthians. He says, listen, we've had the Holy Ghost poured out here at Corinth. We've had great moves of God. Let me just recap this. Bear with me. He said, we have had a move of God. It's been awesome. It's been great. It's been wonderful. We've experienced the anointing of God. We've experienced the display and the demonstration of God in our midst. He said, you're a young church. He said, but I want to tell you something. We cannot hold this to ourselves. He said, there is something across the way, several miles from here. He said, in Ephesus. He said, there is a revival to be had in Ephesus. He said, but when you began to look at Ephesus, you will find, again, you will find that Ephesus was a tough place to have revival. Ephesus was a tough place to experience the supernatural power of God because there was such spiritual wickedness, yea, even in high places, represented in Ephesus. Amen. He looked at that. He began to explain that to these Corinthians. He says, I would rather stay here with you and enjoy the good times of fellowship and the good time. I mean, it's like you got it together, Corinth, right now. And you know, I'm amazed. You know, Paul, if he had a choice of a favorite church, which I don't think he did, but if he would, I believe that Corinth would be his favorite pick. In fact, that's a little ironic because of all their struggles and all the things that they had to deal with. But through it all, he said, listen, Corinth, he said, you're awesome. And he said, I'd rather stay with you. He said, but listen, there is a revival across the way that needs to take place in Ephesus. He said, I'm going to tell you the first sign that I know that there's a revival that needs to be had in Corinth. He said, because of the spiritual wickedness. He said, people are spiritually attuned. Listen, people are spiritually adept. He said, but listen, he said, the reason I know that is because of the spiritual hunger. He said, just the problem with that is this. He said, they are giving over to the wrong spirits. He said, I mean, they've got all kinds of witchcraft and idolatry and pagan worship and on and on. He said, it's full of sin. He says, it's full of perversion. He said, Ephesus is a tough place. He went on at one point, you can read in the Bible says that Paul wrought special, not just miracles, but special miracles at Ephesus. Why? Because it was a special place. It was a tough place. And again, he's telling the Corinthians, I'd rather stay here with you, folks. He said, but I got to go. And he went in Ephesus. The Bible says, he said, I'd tarry with you. I would here at Corinth. He said, but I got to go to Ephesus. I got to get there. He said, because why? He said, there's an open door in Ephesus. My God. Somebody just say, in Jesus' name, I need just a little help right now. It's tight right now, but that's all right. I've been here before. He said, there's an open door. An open door. An open door and effectual. He says, and there are many adversaries. An open door and effectual, but there are many adversaries. Many adversaries. He said, listen. He says, there is a revival waiting to take place in Ephesus. He said, there's a revival that's waiting to be had in Ephesus. He said, but there's an open door. He said, and effectual. He said, but there are many adversaries. He said, there are opposing forces at work in Ephesus. I just want to stop here and say this. There is a revival in Webster, Texas. There is a revival waiting to be had in Webster, Texas. In South Houston. Oh, I'm going to say it like I felt it in prayer this afternoon. There is an open door in Webster, Texas. There is an open door in Webster, Texas. There is an open door in Webster, Texas, but there are many adversaries. Oh, my God. Many adversaries. Many adversaries. Many adversaries. I got to praying about that, Brother Hughes. I got to looking at that, and I thought, my God, what is it about this scripture when we take it at face value and we look at it and we read it and it's pretty plain. It's spelled out pretty simple. We've always heard it preached that way. An open door and effectual and many adversaries. I'm going to tell you something. There is an open door. There is an open door. There is an open door here in this church. There's an open door for revival here. And when you take it at face value, it's just what it says and just the way we read it. But there's even it goes even deeper than that. But I want to establish the fact tonight. There is an open door. God has got an open door for revival in this city, in this area. There is an open door and effectual. But at the same time, there are many adversaries. There are opposing forces. Has it ever dawned on you? Is it any wonder that when you look at that open door, an effectual and many adversaries. When you look at that scripture, you began to interpret that scripture. You began to analyze the scripture. Is it any wonder? Isn't it amazing that how God would give us a church and give us His people an open door to revival, many adversaries? Isn't it amazing that in the spiritual sense, that when we come to an open door that God has allowed to be, that God has opened. Isn't it amazing that these adversaries, isn't it amazing? I don't know, I think like this, Sister Hughes. I think, isn't it amazing how that these adversaries seem to always know that there's an open door? Come on, somebody. Isn't it uncanny how these adversaries are these opposing forces? Let's put it where it really is. These opposing spirits. Isn't it funny how they always know where there's some spiritual good to be had, where there is a revival in the makings? Isn't it amazing how how all these spiritual opposing spiritual forces seem to always know aforehand, always know ahead of time. They're always in advance. They know, and watch this, and they're right there stationed at the door that's open. Isn't it amazing how a church can get so close? Watch this tonight. We get so close. We get right to the precipice of the door. And every time we think we're going to step foot over the threshold, something will inevitably happen and to throw us backwards and prevent and intercept us from getting through that door of opportunity to do the good that needs to be done. For spiritual progress and revival, a spiritual awakening for the good. These adversaries are stationed at that door. Why is that? Anybody beside me ever thought that? As I began to read that, I began to look at that, I found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, it says this, of which salvation the prophets, let's say the prophets, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. This is amazing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Everybody say the grace. Say they prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Watch this. Searching what? Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. Watch this. When it testified, if I say beforehand, the sufferings of Christ, that's the way we've always preached that, watch this, and the glory that should follow. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, as they did minister the things which are now reported, as they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Boy, I like the way that was worded there. That's awesome. He said they preached to you with the gospel, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things, watch, here it is. Which things the angels desire to look into. Watch this. Which things, he said, which are now reported unto you by them, have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now watch this. It is saying here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verses 10 through 13. It is simply saying and describing to you that there were prophets of old, prophets, even prophetic utterances given in the New Testament, prophets, men that were used of God, that they would utter a prophetic word from heaven. The Holy Ghost, listen to me, sent down from God, from heaven above. And they preached the gospel. And they prophesied. In fact, preaching is prophecy. Really want to get technical about it. And it says that as they prophesied, he says that these prophets are these men of God, that as they preached, God anointed them, as it is today. An anointing comes over a man. And he preaches under the unction and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That's the way it's supposed to happen. And as he's preaching forth, and as he's prophesying, and as he's giving forth the word from God to the people of God. What he's saying is this, in here, in this first chapter of 1 Peter, he said, these prophets, these preachers, have become students of their own prophecy. They become students of their own prophecy. They have studied and they have analyzed their own prophecy. But watch this. He says, not only are they studying the prophecies themselves. He said, the Bible said, there are angels that desire to look into it. Now, we've always heard it preached that the angels desire to look into redemption. They desire to look into Jesus and Calvary and on and on, trying to figure out, understand. But he said, wait a minute. He said, beyond that, he said, the angels. Now watch this. When he says angels, to understand it and better clarify, it's not just talking about good angels. He's talking about the entire angelic host, both good angels and bad angels. Now watch what he's saying. Stay with me. He says, while these prophets and while these preachers are giving forth a prophetic word from heaven, he says they're studying their prophecies. They're analyzing it, and they're trying to hear this. They're fighting with it. Come on, somebody. They fight with that prophecy. When a prophecy goes forth, you got to fight with that prophecy. They said they're studying it out. He said, but not only are they alone, he said the angels are looking into it. So basically what he's saying here is this. He is saying that the entire angelic world is looking into the prophecies, the preachings that God has given through His men to His people. While I preach tonight, Pastor Hughes has preached. Others have graced this pulpit. Men of God. How many has been in a service here at Greater Life where all of a sudden the Holy Ghost began to move and that man was used and God gave forth a word? And watch this. Watch this. How many has been in a service where there was tongues and interpretation of tongues? Come on now. Come on, stay with me. Don't feel sorry for me just yet. Just hang in here with me. And so how many has been in a service where all of a sudden Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so would not even feel an unction from the Holy Ghost and the anointing of God would strike that individual and all of a sudden a prophetic word or a prophetic utterance would go forth? How many has ever been in a service? How many has ever been a recipient of a prophetic word that was given to you directly? Come on, somebody. Watch this. While we as the church, and we are so prone to do this because this is our human nature to be suspicious. It's our human nature to question. It's our human nature to analyze in a negative sense. Because what we do, I'll tell you, here's what we do. What we do is this. When a prophetic word goes forth, when a prophecy goes forth, tongues interpretation goes forth, maybe it's something like this. Maybe there's been a prophetic word go forth, sister, that said something like this. In this church, I will pour out my spirit, and I will do wonders in your midst, and I will bring healing, and I will bring deliverance. The backsliders will come back, and oh, come on. Anybody ever heard a word like that in this church at any point? It may have been last month. It may have been last year. It may have been 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And while that word is going forth, watch this. While we sit and wonder, here's what we do. We sit and we cross our arms and we put on our thinking cap and we wonder, was that really of God or not? Come on now. Was that really of God or not? While we're sitting and wondering, was that really the voice of the Lord or not? Well, while we're sitting back trying to analyze and being skeptical and wondering, was that God speaking to us or was that not God speaking to us? Well, while we're doing that, all the while we're doing that, all of the angelic hosts of heaven are engaged in working towards the fulfillment of that prophecy. They're working in anticipation of the fulfillment of that prophecy. What do you mean, Brother Bullock? I'll tell you what I mean. While we sit back and we're trying to figure out, did God speak to me or did not God speak to me? Was this right or was this not right? I'll tell you what it is. Oh, God gave an opportunity of a prophetic word and said there's going to be revival in our midst. While we're there at it, those angelic hosts, they are positioned at that door and they are anticipating the fulfillment of that prophecy and anticipation of that prophecy coming to pass. Opposing forces, many adversaries. I'll tell you exactly who the adversaries that Paul is referencing in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. He's talking about all those demon spirits. And all those angels turn demon spirits. He's talking about all those opposing forces of hell that are standing there. Because why? I'll tell you why. While we're trying to figure out, was God really saying He's going to give us the greatest revival we've ever had in our church or not? While we're trying to figure that out, these angelic hosts, these demon spirits, if you will, they're saying, no, if we could stop them, because it's going to happen. God said it's going to happen. If we can stop the church, if we can get them so caught up with the cares of life, and if we can begin to wear their resolve down and wear their faith down to where they won't receive that. I've come tonight to tell you, God has given us a war, sure word of prophecy. He has said, I will do it, but we've got to get to the door. What is it? Satan in hell is trying to prevent you and I from getting through that door. That's the case. And when you look at that word, it says an open door. We've always heard it preach an open door and adversaries, but it says an open door and effectual. Somebody say and effectual. And effectual. I'm coming to a close. And effectual. My God. When I looked at that word, effectual, the other day, man, it means power. It means dunamis. It means energy. Then when you look at open door, another translation, that means a mega portal. You begin to put these things together. I wasn't a mathematician. But brothers and sisters, I do know how many thirds does it make to take a whole? Watch this. If Satan, who was Lucifer, was cast out of the mountain of God, and am I right? The Bible says that he took one third of the angels with him. I'm not claiming to be brilliant tonight. But if he took one third, that left two thirds. Say that again. Folks, there's an open door in Webster. And I'm not doing the best job of preaching tonight. You'll have to forgive me. I can preach a whole lot better than this. But oh, it's tight. It's Wednesday. I'm fighting against that traditional mentality tonight. I'm not putting it on you, but I'm saying this. I am saying God spoke to me. I said, Lord, I'd like to preach something a whole lot better. I'd like to preach about the standard tonight, about the flag and all this. Man, I just got, that's an awesome message, brother. I mean, it's awesome. I can show you my notes. My God, it's, no, I said, God, what is it? God said, I want you to tell greater life that there's an open door. He said, and there are opposing forces. But watch this. Watch this. At that door, Pastor Hughes, there may be standing opposing evil spirits trying to prevent us from receiving the fulfillment of what God said we could already have. But at that door, not only are there opposing forces, one third of the angels that fell with Lucifer. Let me tell you something. God reminded me this afternoon. He said, tell somebody in that Wednesday night service that there's two thirds of an angelic host that's waiting. It's energy. It's power. It's dunamis. They're there. God says, if they could ever get to the door, I'll help them get through on the other side of that door. My God, somebody clap your hands and shout hallelujah. 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 My God, somebody shout glory to God. Somebody stand up and shout yes. Now, oh my God, now it becomes clear to me why I'm fighting the resistance that I'm fighting. Oh, Satan is big on resistance. But I got a word for somebody tonight. If God be for us, who can be against? That's what I'm trying to preach tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody! Nobody, 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 nobody. Come on, let's all clap our hands to the Lord right now. Come on, somebody, lift your voice. I'm trying to preach victory in the hey. I'm trying to preach victory in this house tonight. I'm trying to preach. It's more than just coming to church and clapping our hands and patting our feet to good singing, good music. There is an open door. There's my God, there's revival. There's revival in this place. God says, I'm open the door. It's an open door. Somebody shout an open door. And effectual. News for the devil. Brother Bubba, I got news for the devil. We need to send the devil back to hell where he belongs. I hope I don't throw you way off, but I'm going to put it where it's right. You will not probably hear it put like this. It is the most perfect and the most right way of saying it. But here it is. The hell with the devil. Come on, somebody. We need to put hell where it belongs and put the devil in it. That's where he does belong. Because here's what I've come to preach tonight on an old Wednesday night. Hallelujah. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. We've got so much going for us. We've got so much going for us. Brother, there's so much going for us. We're standing at the door. But see, that's why kids go crazy. Finances go wild. That's why the spouses act a fool and everything and everybody acting crazy. Everything going haywire. Everything going nuts. Everything going crazy. Why? Because Satan is trying to discombobulate us. He's trying to throw us off. He's trying to prevent us from getting to the door. But I got news for you. God said if you can preach people to the door tonight, if you can get them to the door, he said, I've already got power. God. I've already got power. I've already got strength. I've got it waiting for them at the door. Because why? It is necessary. It is integral that we get past the door. We got to get on the other side of the door. Let's clap our hands and love Him right now. Holy Ghost is moving right now. Every eye closed. Somebody help me pray right now. Come on, somebody be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Satan wants us to be carnal. He wants us to be a reasoning people. He wants us to be just people that just reason so much that we reason faith out of the equation. But I got news for somebody tonight. God has given you an open door. I want to prophesy right now. There's some things that's about to change in your life. Oh, come on. Come on. There's some prophecies that's been given to this church. There's prophecies that's been given to individuals in this church. I want to preach to some young ladies and some young men here tonight. God has prophesied to you that He's going to do some things in your life. But you know what? Those things haven't come to pass. The devil would love for us not to fight with those prophecies. He would love for us just to put those things on hold. He's trying his best to prevent us from getting to the possibility of what those prophetic words and what God has promised us. Is there anybody here tonight that God has ever promised anything to you? Would you stand to your feet right now if God has ever promised you something, but it's yet to come to pass? It hasn't happened yet. I don't understand why it happened. It may have been a year ago. It may have been 5 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago. It might have been last month or last week, but it hasn't come to pass. I got news for you tonight. If God ever said it, if God ever spoke it, if God said it shall come to pass, we got to stand up tonight and say, devil, you tried your best to keep me back and prevent me from getting through to it. But tonight, in Jesus' name, I'm going to get through this. Or I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get a hold of what God said was mine. I'm going to receive it in Jesus' name. Greater is He that is within us. Greater is He that is within us. Greater is He that is within us than He that is in this world. I want you to take somebody by the hand right now. When I asked everybody if ever God spoke something to you, you stood to your feet. Almost everybody, practically everybody stood to their feet in this place. I know I'm preaching the truth tonight. You see, this message is not just a message just to run on. It's a message of revelation. It's a message of not just hearing something good to say, preacher, you did a good job. That was not the design of this tonight. But God's divine design for this service tonight was to say, people, my precious people, I have brought you to the portal of that door. Don't be afraid of a door. Don't be afraid to walk in. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. God is wanting to take us into some uncharted territories. But oh, as long as we've got the Word of God as our lamp, to guide us, to give us light, we don't have anything to fear. Somebody tonight, if I could take you by the hand, I would. And if I could lead you through the other side of that door. But watch this. God says you don't need a man's hand. You don't need anybody else's hand. All I'm asking you is to get to that door and don't be afraid of it. Because don't be afraid of the devil. Well, I've fought it and I had opposing forces so long. Don't be afraid. Come on, somebody. The devil's tried to talk us out. In fact, he's just about talked some of you out of what God said you can have. But I've come tonight to admonish you. I've come tonight to exhort you. I've come to minister to your, I've come to minister to the real you tonight and appeal to the real you tonight and say it's time to get to the door, to step over it. Why? Because we are on the threshold
of the greatest revival that this church has ever seen. If you dare to believe that, I would to God you would clap your hands and shout, Lord, we receive that tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day right now. Somebody get in the Spirit right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Clap your hands and worship God right now. You're right there, young people. You're right there, brother, sister. You're right there.
There's healing. There's healing. There's healing. Is there anybody, I'm just going to ask simply right now, is there anybody that wants to get beyond where you're at right now? Is there anybody ready for the challenge of going beyond the door? Come on, is there anybody ready for the challenge to go beyond the door? I'll tell you like it is right now, and I feel this in the Holy Ghost. There's two people here tonight that you need a healing in your body in a desperate way. You need a healing in your body. I just preached recently for a pastor in right outside of Hammond, Louisiana, and I shared this Sunday a week ago. If you wasn't here to hear this or you didn't catch it because I kind of said it a little fast, but there was 128 people that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in 6 months right outside of Hammond, Louisiana, Tickfall, Louisiana. Tickfall. Well, if that's not redneck, I don't know what is. I was passing through Arkansas, that are outside of Little Rock, well, not long ago, just, yeah. three weeks or so ago, and I went through a what they call a toad suck, Arkansas. Boy, if that's not redneck, I don't know. I mean, where are you from? Toad suck. How'd you like to be from Toad suck, Arkansas? My God, have mercy. But in Tickfall, we had revival. The pastor, Brother Adrian, Cecil Adrian Spikes, Brother Spikes, when I went there in May of 07, in revival, I went there to preach a Friday night youth rally, sectional youth rally. We had several churches represented. We had the high school valedictorian or salutatorian. It was a girl, young lady. She was ahead of her class that school year, a good Baptist girl. She came to church that Friday night, and she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She went, as a result, she was instrumental in winning 27 people, young people, to the Holy Ghost. One Baptist girl that got the Holy Ghost, got the revelation of Jesus' name baptism. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. It's going to happen here. It's going to, listen to me, young people. It's going to happen here. God's going to use you, young lady. God's going to use you. There's some people that's going to listen to you. You're going to bring them to church. You're working. God's going to use you. Come on, somebody. Hey, that's what I'm preaching about tonight. Come on. Come on. We either receive it or we reject it, or we realize, you know, I'll tell you what it is. The devil's trying, he's convinced some of us it's just too much. It's too much to fight. It's too much a hassle. I'm not going to worry with it. I just go to church and just kind of endure until Jesus comes. I got news for you. The days of just coming to church and just enduring and just making do until God comes. That's all. I'm telling you, there's a revival here. I see backsliders coming through the doors of this church. I don't even know who they are. But last week in prayer, I saw five people faces. I don't even know who they are. But when they come through the doors, I'll immediately know who they are. Because, watch this, the Lord spoke to me and said, these are the hard ones. These are the ones that have given up on church, on preachers, on faith, on saints, on everything to do with it. These are the hard cases. We would classify as hard cases, Sister Hughes. But the Lord gave me five faces of people. I don't even know who they are, but they're coming through those doors. And those five people, my God. My God, what are you saying? I'm not trying to plug anything and be a little superficial. No, I'm past superficial. I am speaking by the faith of God tonight. There is at least 100 soul revival in the next 3 months. I said 100 people. What's it going to require? Moving me out of my comfort zone. Getting me up. I'm ready to get on the other side of that door. Brother, come here and help me for a moment. Come here. Here's a threshold. Are you ready? Wait. Stop right there. This is where you're at. Act like you're scared right now. Just act like you're scared. Act like you're scared. Just act like you're scared. Shake and say, but watch this, watch this, watch this. God said it. You know what? If God said it, it don't matter what the devil said. If God said it, it don't matter what anybody else says. If God said we can have it, my God, have we so allowed the enemy to convince us that his voice is greater than God's? I don't think so. The devil is a liar. If God had to shut the yalaba. Some of you need a healing in your body tonight, and the devil's convinced you that you can't. I've come to tell you tonight, God can heal you in an instant, just like that tonight. God can deliver somebody. He can deliver your family tonight. You can go home, and all of a sudden you walk in the house, and things will turn. It'll be different. You'll know it. Come here, brother. Are you ready to step to the threshold? Are you ready? Are you ready? Come on. The Bible says, God said, a great door and effectual and power and energy. I got angels waiting on you at the door. Don't be afraid of the door. Don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to witness. Don't be afraid to invite. Don't be afraid. When you get to the door, the devil's doing everything he can to stop us. He is shaking. He is doing everything he can. He is afraid. Why? Because he's afraid if we as a people of God will ever get to that prophecy, if we ever get to that door, if we get through it, it's over. It's over. It's over. And we step on through it. Step on through it. You step on through it. Sister, I don't know what it is. But you have prayed for a long time, in fact, many years. And what you have prayed, it's been such a burden and it's been such a weight on you. But tonight, the Lord just wanted me to tell you and remind you and this host of people that he is lifting that burden off of you tonight. The reason he's lifting it is because he's answering that prayer that's been long standing. Raise your hands if you're willing to receive that now, my sister. The Lord just spoke to me and said, there's revival in your family. There's revival. There's revival in your family. Sister, there's revival in your family. There's revival in your household. Revival in your family. The devil's tried to make you like he has. So many of us say, well, it's what's the use? I've told them. I've tried to invite them. I've tried to get them to the church house of God so many times. The Lord says the very next time that you talk to them, their hearts will be softened. God, you'll know when to talk to them, and you'll know exactly what to say. And God is going to use you. There is a revival. I can see. One, two, I can see these rows filled up with your family right here. Why? Because God just spoke it. You feel the witness of the Spirit? You feel what I'm saying? You believe I'm a man of God? You believe I'm preaching the truth? I haven't done a great job of preaching tonight, but I have done a great job of delivering what God wants me to deliver. And I say that to the glory of God. If you're going to boast in the Lord, God's word tonight is this. We need to get through the door. You're going to get through the door tonight. I want you to help me. Take me by the hand. I want you to step on out here. Step on out. Step on out. Step on out. I want you to take three steps. When you take that third step, the Holy Ghost is going to confirm you, and it's going to happen with God's word and signs following. I said with signs following. Come on, God is wanting to reinstitute our faith in what Tahataba, Itataba, Itaba, Matayala Bahaya. Sister Hughes, lay your hands on her right there. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands to the Lord right now. Come on, let's worship the Lord right now. Come on, somebody worship the Lord right now. Turn your neighbor and say, receive the word of the Lord tonight. Receive the word of the Lord tonight. Come on, turn your neighbor and say, receive the word of the Lord tonight. Receive the word of the Lord tonight. Receive the word of the Lord tonight. The word of the Lord tonight. I'm going to fight with it. There are so many people here tonight that God has spoken into your life so many times, whether through the preached word,
whether through a prophetic utterance or through tongues and interpretation, God has spoken to your life tonight. I'm dealing with a subject you don't normally deal with. That's okay. God says deal with it, so I'm dealing with it. God has spoken to you and it hasn't happened. But I got news for you. Brother, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. People don't fight with the prophecies. Listen, when God speaks to someone's life and it doesn't come to pass, it doesn't mean that the man of God that was used of God to speak the word to your life, doesn't mean that that man was wrong. It means this. It's up to you and it's up to me. It's up to us as recipients of that word to fight with that word. We got to fight with that word. And when I say fight, I mean contend with that word. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. God has ever spoken to your life, brother. Your heart's heavy tonight. You have totally identified with what I have preached tonight. Am I telling the truth? You've identified. I'm going to tell you something. I want you to step out in that aisle right there. But wait a minute. As soon as you step out in the aisle, I want you to walk to the front. As soon as you get up there to the front, the Holy Ghost is going to touch you. And there's going to be a fresh anointing come to your life tonight. And God's going to confirm what I'm preaching because you're stepping through the door tonight. Come on, somebody. Come on. Now I'm looking for about 50 people right now that'll do nothing but for the next 120 seconds worship the Lord. Somebody worship God right now. Come on, worship God right